Hello. Oh,
hello,
everyone. The Red Rit. Kanbanwa. I guess it is the evening, isn't it?
Yeah, although I guess it's where you live.
I think you say that, though, when you're about to go to bed, don't you? Kanbanwa?
No, that's Oyasumi Nasai.
You are. Fuck you.
Oh, my God. Moshinderu.
That's all I got.
Shinai desu.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going toe-to-toe with you. And this Japanese. Are you a weeaboo? Is that a thing?
No.
Is a weeaboo?
I don't know. I mean, I guess technically I kind of could be.
What is
I
it?
I appreciate Japanese culture, but like I don't want to be Japanese.
And so a weeaboo wants to be Japanese?
Yeah, kind of. Like I feel like a lot of definitions of things like that, it kind of gets, gray.
But yeah.
Lots of times, like the actual definition is basically usually a white person who loves Japanese culture so much and like rejects their culture and wants to be Japanese.
That's a weeaboo.
Yeah.
Now, an otaku is like a loner who doesn't go outside, like agoraphobe, right? Who plays like video games or something? Is that what an otaku is
another one of those kind of terms that I get. Like in Japan, yeah, that would be more what otaku means.
Yeah.
Outside Japan, otaku kind of just has become a catch-all term for people who like anime.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, be careful. Hi, everyone. Because I think there are things that we're not supposed to say that are out of related words.
These are fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Hi, everyone. So that's a little glimpse at the After Hours pod stream podcast that we will be doing after this. Not on Twitch. It's going to be on YouTube. And where else are we streaming it? Is it Facebook as well?
Yeah, we'll Facebook be and YouTube, Facebook, yeah. Streaming.
Where are we?
Potentially.
Where are we geeking out hard?
We haven't tested it out. We might be back
on Twitch.
We didn't
test it. Yeah, that's right. Just hang around.
Just be around. Going for it.
Be around 10:45, 11 o'clock tonight.
Just Eastern like I haven't standard. Tested to listen to see if we're actually have audio on the stream.
It's a pretty big deal. Yeah, so we are gaming Dreadlore, L-O-R-E, the Dreadlore system, and the game, the campaign we're going to play, Chocolate, is The Red Rit.
The Red Rit. I want to play the chocolate game.
You go to hell. Play the Red Rit.
Red Rit.
Yeah, we're playing The Red Rit. And sometimes we play other games, but tonight I want to briefly introduce the cast. Hey, Andrea, you go first.
Okay. Hi, I'm Andrea. Wait, what are we doing this time? Are we giving interesting facts about ourselves or are we just doing our characters?
Hey, Drizzle, you do next.
Hey, I'm Drizzle.
All right, Ken.
I am Ken.
Hey, Andrea, will you do Hulker?
Hi, I'm Hulker.
Whoa! That's actually pretty good. Good timing.
No, he'd be like, hi, I'm Winston
right.
Galkin, the server from...
From what?
The late Lit
Wall. He would say, I'm Daniel. Never mind.
I love
yeah, we That's want to thanks to the music peoples, all lowercase letters, Mr. Interrupt. You know, Ken, I think I stole this from you. I think you were supposed to do all of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, no, I can finish it up if you
want. Go ahead, you finish it up.
All right, thanks all lowercase letters, Mr. Interrupt. You've been on you're on all the podcast and music sites. You can download their stuff. iCloud,
goddamn sexy,
wherever, I don't know, all the music places. Thanks to our Patreon people. Visit our Patreon at patreon.com/dreadlore. Special thanks to Tim Roberts, Daniel Hulker, and nostalgic for keeping us alive, and helping us do these like fun graphic-y things,
sexy graphics,
and you know, keeping us real, keeping us going. Thanks, Couchfire Media, for art and media production. And
yeah, thank you, Couchfire.
Twaribla Productions for writing the book and being a awesome arbiter and doing all the stuff that you do. Thanks for the shorts that are clearly generating more views on YouTube and all of the other things for the red writ that we are currently involved.
The red writ.
Is there anything else that we want to talk about before we start the show? Or is...
Yeah, we should probably talk about a couple things. Also, there's an ad. So, you know, we're not going to... Just keep that shit going. That's cool as shit.
Kaleidoscopic. Is that cool? All right, cool. I mean, it's just what we do. It's what we do.
Yeah, it's neat. The red, red.
There's Grunwald and all the guys.
Meanwhile, while this ad is going, God, ads are balls. You know, apparently, if you subscribe to the Twitch, you don't have ads. I'm thinking about subscribing just to see if that's a thing. Is that a thing?
I subscribed through my Amazon.
I think you get shit. Like, you know, I should totally do that. How do you do it though?
It was hard.
Is it?
It says that I did it because it says that I could resubscribe, but it's asking for money this time. So
yeah,
I did it right the first time.
What are all these things? Customized cheer with channel points? Oh, I have 310 channel points.
I think that's why I get this.
Please get bits. You have 0 bits and cannot send a cheer. What? Oh, you have to buy bits. I see. They're not channel points. What are you doing? Whoa, shit. Whoa. God, what? How does it do that?
Because I went through the Amazon.
It's not working anymore. You can't do
it. It is.
Oh shit, you got balloons?
So what I'm thinking I might do for next week is I might have my setup in my workshop. That way I can watch the stream on my computer. And also
wait, you have a computer? You sexy dog.
Plus I only have like the one is it like my workstation computer? But I'd only ever use it for like my art stuff. So what I think I'll do, because I didn't think about it. It's in the wrong wall, so I have to move it for like the stream. But I also have like those nano leaf things that are so popular with streaming stuff. Like the little light up panel, you know, things.
LEDs. You got some RGB going?
Yeah. You do fancy colorful stuff.
I think I'm just going to have to see it. I'm going to have to see it. thank you to everyone who's watching. If you are watching, post something in the chat. Let us know who you are. And, you know, we'll make fun of you. And it'll be hilarious because we're hilarious. Right. We're going to do a little bit of a recap. The long and the short of it from last game. You have been searching for Gabriella Dupont, who is a 16-year-old girl from Detroit who's gone missing. A detective, Idaway, who is a former confidant of Drizzle's character, Simon, had given Simon. Sorry, I was looking at Drizzle, and I was like, given Drizzle. You're Drizzle. Had given Simon this assignment, asked if he could help, and Simon pulled all of you into it. Lots of weird things had happened for all of you in your own lives, and it all seemed to line up like the stars aligning against a blood moon, and ill things were on the horizon. So you investigated, because, you know, that's what you all do. You're sleuths in your own right. That's what the game started. Can you hear that?
I
can't stop that. Sorry.
What is it?
That is a how can I? That is an air elemental, outside of my room, doing air elemental stuff. Apparently, anyway, is it bad? I can turn down the gain, or whatever.
No, it's fine. I can't hear it that much now.
Good. So, your adventure continued. You saw a lot of very strange things. Now, last game, you had gone to Annabelle Butte's house in Grosse Pointe, a very rich neighborhood in a not-so-rich Detroit. And a lot of crazy, crazy things went down. You may have seen the living dead. You may have seen ghosts. You may have seen what Nord described at one time as the White Doe, whom you think is potentially a woman named Lady Callie. How is this all tied to Gabriella? The thought is, perhaps, that Lady Gabriella and her brood have been kidnapping teenagers, essentially. Typically young, witchy, into the occult teenagers.
Lady Callie, not Lady Gabriella.
Yeah, right. That's the assumption. This wasn't literally said, but Nord and Simon basically accused Lady Callie of this and of killing these girls. However, when you went back into the house, so you had cornered Lady Callie, brought her back into the house after Simon bludgeoned her with his body.
I just knocked her down.
Yeah, she's like, 1,000 years old though.
excuse me. She's 1,000, but she's pretty much got insta kill on her. She'll give you a hurt.
She didn't really hurt Nord.
Yeah, she did.
She mind fucked.
She was like,
you.
Oh, here's a derangement.
And she just mind fucked you.
Just here you go.
Before we get to this is an after hours conversation. when the player's like, oh, she hurt me. Yeah. She did hurt you.
She did.
She did not hurt you. She didn't take away your vitality, I guess.
No. Just gave me a...
Where the fuck was I? It threw me off. I don't know.
Sorry. No, we were talking about Lady Callie, and we were having a conversation with Lady Callie at Annabelle's house after Gabby and some other people kind of floated off into the fog.
A lot of bad shit went down. Simon was able to justify these things, rationalize these things. When he noticed this purplish dust seemingly everywhere, on everyone and on himself, thinking it's some sort of psychotropic drug, potentially the same stuff that Leah was using, some alchemically changed nightshade that she's been poisoning everyone with. So he thinks you're all high as balls. Nord believes that Lady Callie hurt him with her mind powers. It could have nothing to do with the fact that he's always on fucking drugs. But who knows? Who knows? Turns out the cops are corrupt. Who would have thought? You met a guy named Don Hill, I believe, detective that Simon knows is a crooked cop. And when the cops went in the house full of people that were dead, why were they dead? Because Leah killed them all. Brain matter and blood aside, the cop just didn't seem to notice. The maid, Miss Vasquez, just was cleaning it all up around you. Simon and Nord. As you guys went outside, you met up with Mariah and Tony. Finally, most of the group getting together. And you were pretty rattled by what you'd seen. Leah saw something, potentially a monster. Who knows? Down below in the basement. This ancient corridor has been dug out, and there was a door and chanting beyond, when a massive thing looked like it was mal-shapen and perhaps was her former colleague, Cloyce, attacked her. Somehow, Leah was able to escape. Perhaps she knows how. Perhaps she doesn't know how. All went dark for a while. She chanced to look over her shoulder as she was running away from this door and whatever hell was going on and this monster. And perhaps thought that the monster, Cloyce, was dead. You all meet up. You leave. Leah is incredibly hurt, so Simon takes you all to one of his other confidants in his hard-boiled private eye repertoire, a guy named Jack Napier, which nobody got the reference, which is fine. Jack Napier is a mortician, and off the books, he actually does help Leah. In the meantime, Nord surreptitiously, quite snickily, steals Leah's car and goes to his van. He wants to go deal with some shit. You all are finishing up at Jack's. Meanwhile, Nord has encountered potentially the supernatural again at his van. A man you all have known to be William Tibbetts. Perhaps in his 70s, it's hard to tell. A homeless man, crazed and raving, meets up with Nord. Turns out that perhaps William was sleeping under Nord's van. Hadn't told anybody what's up, but it seems that William might know a little bit more than he let on about what has happened. Nord interrogates him, trying to find out what he knows, when William kind of loses his mind for a moment and presents a preternatural ability to jump, contort his body, and fly away like a creature of the night. And that's where we ended last session. Am I missing anything?
I think so.
Nope.
Good. I'm going to react to our thing. Thanks for sharing. Oh, you can react.
Nice. Well, I'll start the... Let's see the credits.
Let's see it. Let's do it.
All right. Cool.
One cunning and one breath back to you both, and you both get a pip, and you both get one XP. So if that puts you at five, I'm sorry, if that puts you at three XP or more, then that means, you know, you get to advance. We are going to be in the montage right now. Now, what the montage is, the montage is a soft role play part of the game. Players can bid a trait if you want to drop out of the montage into the dread, where you have a lot more control. One of the benefits of the montage is you're relatively safe, and also you can do a campfire type scene. And when you do that, then you can advance. So it actually does behoove you to stay in the montage sometimes, because that allows you to advance. Right. In this montage, we have Leah, we have Simon. Tony is there. He's going to be taking a shit in the back of Jack Napier's. Mariah is there. She's going to be in the other bathroom. doing whatever she wants to do because she's an 11-year-old child, so I'm not going to describe it. You know, brushing her teeth or something. So the action is on YouTube. Jack is moving about. He has a few clients he's starting to deal and wheel out of the freezer. Nord, you are by yourself. So while this is a montage, we'll get to you in a second. Okay. You two, I'm going to put the spotlight on you, put you in the hot seat because I'm going to make coffee. All right. Well,
while we were in this montage, I'm going to drop the load and add skeptic as a trick.
Fuck yes. So I'm going to go make coffee. The action is on you two, Andrea, Leah, and Drizzle, Simon. You got to role play with each other for at least 2.5 minutes.
That's a long coffee.
Yeah, do it.
Leah, where did you see where Nord went?
No. I know he took my keys, but beyond that, I don't know where he went.
Where did he drive off to?
Who knows? Maybe they get some more snack.
Well, that makes a lot of sense for Nord. So I think I have an idea where Gabby may be. There is a warehouse near the docks. And I've got a gut feeling that that's where she may be. So hopefully she's holed up there and she's fine. Did you learn anything else from talking to them?
I didn't learn anything really. Do you think anybody else is in that house? Anybody innocent?
The house we left?
Yes.
I mean, there could, but first off, the maid's in there. We don't know if the maid's wrapped up in all this or not. And like I said, that's, who knows what's going on with that house. We were covered in something. I don't know if it is your nightshade or if it is something else, but we were covered in some sort of purple dust that could have made us see a lot of things that weren't actually there.
No matter what, though, those people are evil, regardless of what you believe.
Just because somebody's evil doesn't mean you can burn the house down.
Burn it? No. No, I don't think that's good enough, honestly, at this point. I might need to go find a payphone.
Are you going to call in like an airstrike or something? What's going on?
So I might have some friends who may have some misplaced munitions.
Yeah, no, that's going to cause so much damage to the other houses. Let's just stop this and get them arrested like we should. We don't need to go destroying property. We don't need to go destroying a neighborhood just because there's a few bad weeds. You don't burn down a forest to get rid of some poison ivy.
We already know that the police are corrupt, at least part of them.
But the police have always been corrupt. This is Detroit.
Well, then what's the point in the system? What's the point of getting them arrested?
Because it's the right way to do things.
Sometimes the right way is just to get the bad guy and sort out the rest later.
We are... Right, yes, get them, not kill them. Well, and that's the thing. We're trying to get the bad guys. You're trying to destroy their house.
No. I just want to destroy... I want to kill all of them. That's all. I mean, the house and the maid in this instance would just be collateral damage.
We collateral damage should not be acceptable.
Maybe not where you're from.
Yes, but... which is where we currently are living right now. So you may have done things differently where you're from, but you're not there anymore. You came here. So you have to live by our rules here. Sorry.
You don't know what she said to me.
Well, that's because you wouldn't tell me. I just asked you, and you said you didn't learn anything.
She said Mariah was on the list.
Well, that's not going to happen. I won't let that happen. But that doesn't mean you go burn down somebody else's house, because she doesn't even live there.
Right, but that's their little hideouts and gathering places that...
Well, from the sounds of it, from what Annabelle told us, she moves around from house to house while people are gone. So who knows how many of these highfalutin types she goes and has free reign of their house while they're gone on vacation.
I don't know, but I do know that in the basement, well, if you can even call it a basement, it's more of like a tunnel system. It went far out, almost up to the graveyard.
Well, that's not uncommon.
Anyway, there was a door behind which there was clearly some kind of something going on.
Something going on behind a door. That's reason to destroy a house, okay?
Before, my friend Cloyce attacked me again.
Like I said, we were covered in purple stuff. I don't know what that could have made you see. It made me see some dead bodies up and walking about. I thought that I had gone crazy just like the rest of you until I noticed that we were covered in that purple dust.
Here's my question to you. How many extenuating circumstances of different sorts do there have to be for you to realize that maybe the common denominator is shit's happening and it's not the different things you come up with as an excuse that time?
Well, stuff is happening and we're trying to get it stopped. But just because it's a group that believes in occult stuff doesn't mean the occult stuff is real.
Right, but what is it? At least, a dozen times now we've seen some crazy shit that doesn't make any sense. And every time you come up with some new reason as to why, it clearly wasn't that. It was something else.
Occam's razor, the most reasonable explanation is usually the correct one.
Right, in terms of a one-off scenario, sure. But now your most reasonable scenario is kind of muddled by the fact that you have to come up with some new explanation every single time something crazy happens. Maybe the Occam's razor in this instance is the fact that supernatural shit is happening.
Oh, it's all because of drugs and suggestion to the mind. If I play you a sound and tell you that this is what they're saying, that's what you're going to hear. Because your mind takes what you believe and makes it true.
So you've been trying to see dead guys stand up half a dozen times? You've been trying to
because that's all you keep talking about. I've only seen it the once, and that's when I had the purple drugs on me.
I know you shot... You tried to put those guys in with the gloves down, too. You know how many bullets it took to stop them.
Right, but when people are on drugs, which is what we're all dealing with, it takes a lot to put them down. I've seen people on angel dust who have taken 16 bullets and still come at you. Drugs can make your body do all kinds of things that you don't expect.
Did those guys seem like they were on drugs to you?
Well, we're getting this purple stuff everywhere. On my safe, when I was going to open it, there was some sort of powder on it as well. There's been powder on these gloves, and they're all wearing these gloves. The gloves that you put on with the electricity. So, I mean, that all could be the drugs.
Out of curiosity, what exactly would it take for you to believe these things are true?
Well, like I said, I almost believed it until I found the drugs covering me and your daughter, by the way.
Did she see anything?
Yeah, she said she saw a guy with his head blown off.
And so what? Everybody's having the same group hallucination?
Yes, that happens all the time. It's called mass hysteria.
Okay, whatever you have to tell yourself. Either way, I'll do what I need to do, and there's really nothing you can do to stop me.
I don't know about that. But we don't want to push that. Let's stop this ring, save these kids, and deal with that later.
How long have you been working this case now?
For the same amount of time you have.
I thought you and your buddy were working on it for years before that.
No, he had been working on it for years. He just put me on it the other night when we were at the diner.
And now, as far as we know, he's dead.
No, he's not dead. Jack just told me he was fine. Jack said he was beaten up, but he was fine. I thought he was dead, but he came to Jack as well.
I guess we'll see.
You both get a narrative point. As you're sitting there going back and forth, maybe just outside of the mortician shop, Napier's Mortician. We need a good name for it. What is it? His name's Jack Napier, and he has got a mortician shop. Something about stiffs.
Napier's Necromancy.
It's a little on the nose. let me think. It needs to be something like the joke of life or something like that. Like making fun of death. If you think of something, you get a pep. Chat, do you have any ideas? Like jokes on you or something like that. Anyway.
Okay, here you go.
You've reached the end of the road.
It's more of like an ironic one. How about carpe diem?
Yeah, okay, I'll dig that. That's good. I like that. That's good. What's your shop? I'm a mortician. Oh, what's the name of it? Carpe diem. That's pretty great. Fucking good. All right. Yeah, so you're out front of Carpe Diem. You see the too small sign, you know, it's white, has like the cursive black, and it kind of flickers and such. Nighttime, 7 o'clock, Detroit. It's cold outside, brisk. The last few days, on and off rain, thunder and such, so the ground is wet. And you guys are going back and forth. Your voices, even though you're not yelling or anything, your voices are kind of echoing a little bit off the pavement. Because, you know, this is there's no green anywhere. It's all industrial and concrete and stone and dilapidated buildings. You hear the sound of metal on metal. Think of like drawers being opened and recklessly slam shut, and tools and such of Jack Napier starting to work. The sounds of zippers and him kind of giggling to himself as he enjoys his work quite a bit. As your conversation or your argument starts to conclude, Mariah is coming down the hall. Leah, this is the montage, so you don't need to bid to know that your daughter's been crying. She comes slowly down and down the hallway towards you all. Before getting into the light, you can see her pull her hair back and, make herself look presentable as she comes up to you. She's smiling at both of you. What are y'all talking about?
Leah will get down on, you know, on one knee and put her hands on either shoulder of Mariah. Mariah, I promise you, I'll make them pay.
It's not a confused look. It's a look of a conflict of emotions that crosses her face. For as precocious as a child as she is, you know, 11 going on 18 or whatever she is, she doesn't have the experience to deal with these emotions, to deal with what you just said. She doesn't understand. She knows what you mean, but she doesn't understand the gravity of it. Perhaps in a long time, Leah, do you see your daughter for being a child? She can run with you guys. You know it. You know she's really tough. She's really strong. But she is a kid. And maybe the words of Loretta Lavon murmur in your head that they were choosing her next. Perhaps even the words of a few other people, of Cloyce, and some things that you've heard, that Marcus, your husband, somehow in on this. How long have they been watching you all? How long have they been watching Mariah? They had pictures of all of you. You didn't really go through the photos, Simon or did. But I think this grips Leah pretty hard. That's how it happens is up to you. So Mariah nods at you. Yeah, I know. We'll get them. She turns to Simon and holds up her fist. This little fist that apparently can, you know, pack a wallop.
Punch some balls.
Yeah.
Leah will, you know, look at her, you know, like pat her shoulder and look at her even more fiercely and say, I know I haven't always told you this, but it's okay to cry. It's okay to be sad. You don't have to be strong. That's what I'm here for.
She sniffles a little bit and then turns away. I know. So when are we going? Where's Nord? She looks around.
We do need to find him.
Well, it's probably best to wait till he gets back. Because I don't know where, he didn't say where he went, he just took off.
But
if we go looking for him, we'll probably miss him. No.
Did he just walk?
He took your mother's car keys.
You let him borrow the car?
I mean, I guess technically yes, but he was he went out of his way to steal him from me, and I didn't see any reason to stop him. So
Mariah doesn't know what to think. We're gonna slide over to Nord since we've done the montage there, and Nord. You're at your van. There are, I should say, two dents about shoulder width apart on the roof of your van from where William Tibbetts allegedly leapt off of your van two stories, 50 feet that way, plunged his fists into the side of a brick building and clock, 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 clock up onto the roof and disappeared like some hellion of the night. Well, you find yourself in the same sort of situation outside. Where actually is your van?
It's near to where the fancy is.
I see, yeah. So near the fancy, near the apartment.
It's sort of in between Tony and Simon's apartment and... Yeah. And the fancy.
So you're several miles away from where Carpe Diem is.
Nord stomps on his opium-laced cigarette, throws it on the ground, and breathes in a deep sigh, and wonders if he was tripping or if that was all real. And gathers up some different things. He kind of pulls the shotgun that he had and some of the other things, a bag of guns and maybe maybe a few other odds and ends that he thinks that could be helpful or interesting. That, you know, he grabs the blue gloves and throws those in the bag, and just a bunch of stuff. Pulls the anti-poison that he got
and jumps. No, you have like
five.
Yeah, five. Yeah.
And maybe grabs a couple extra materials if he needs to make something on the run. So he's like, just puts it all in Leah's car.
Yeah, you put a couple duffel bags of of guns and ammunition. Pretty much, it's the bag that the detectives had. Yeah. And then you've got like a little backpack. Other than the anti-poison and the guns, what else do you have? Anything in particular?
Yeah. Well, he changes clothes so he can. He's not incredibly detectable by that one particular cop anymore. Mm-hmm. He
bell bottoms again. Yeah, we got it.
Yeah. I think that's just about it. I don't think there's anything. He kind of grabs. Yeah.
Go on.
No, I think that's it. And okay. And his camera.
And you stuff. Got your camera. Camera, film, all that goodness.
Puts his Kevlar armor on.
You put on Kevlar?
Yeah.
All right. This is all good stuff to know. So you have a Kevlar vest on.
Yeah.
What is Nord wearing? What do you look like? Do you look like a road warrior? Like
yeah, he's got like a big probably a detective looking trench coat on, maybe a fedora, something bulky.
Yeah.
He manufactures like a little ankle strap for that. What is it? That little
Derringer,
something quick and dirty.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, so you look like an extra from the Highlander movie.
Yeah, right. Definitely. No, he doesn't look unlike somebody out of Highlander for sure.
But you look shady as fuck, and you got a fedora on too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shady like dressed up because it's probably going to be a coldish night. He's actually got a nicer jacket on underneath the trench coat. Because he knows that he's going to go to a club later. So
right, though you do have on a Kevlar vest, so you know it's good. Tends to print through the club clothes.
There was a little creature of imminent, like amazing strength that just leapt off of. He's scared. I mean, there's no question that Nord is. He's like, it's the Rambo moment where he's got to prepare and get all this shit together because he's scared to death.
Where are your alchemicals and all that stuff? Are they just in the bag or are they on your person?
They are probably put in a bag, and Nord would have them separated enough to where if one, he wouldn't put the vials next to each other that could cause a major explosion.
These are the agents you're talking about, the agent elixirs, which can be mixed.
Yeah.
That you agents. Got from Grimwald.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you have that backpack slung over a shoulder when you're walking.
Yeah. Around. Backpack, yeah. You know, well, it throws them all in the back of Leah's car.
Now, are you carrying, other than the Derringer with your on your ankle, tied with some string, are you carrying one, are you packing any heat,
one extra than string? Well, he's got his I think he upgraded from the, he's got two, he's got that pistol that he's always had, but he also has a Colt 45.
Do you have it like a tucked in your?
No, in your, no, your pants, no, he didn't. He put all the weapons that he found into the bag.
Okay. So you're not actually packing heat. You got it in a bag.
Yeah. The only, the only weapons that he has.
Does
on
he also have, does he also have two zigzags?
Are his pistol and his harness and the Derringer that is neatly hidden. Oh, and he's got a little compartment for the dirge, the sword, the tiny sword that he carries around with him.
He has a compartment?
Well, and he took an umbrella and like jammed it up into where an umbrella would be.
Okay, so right, fashion. So all, I don't know if you notice, I'm calling you out like, how is all this happening? I'm getting a very what is it?
Do you want a bid? I'll bid for you.
No, it's not a bid. It's a very Sarah Earth moment. Yeah. So there's no hammer space, right? So you got the Derringer on your ankle. Cool. You got your guns and shit in a bag, as well as the elixirs in a bag.
Sure.
I'm assuming it's in two different bags. Yeah. On your person, what else do you have? Because this will matter. Potentially it will matter.
Sure. I think he's decided that Dirge has been helpful, considering he murdered somebody with it. Dirk.
Yeah.
So he probably has that Dirk on him and his pistol that he's been carrying around since the beginning of the game.
Do you have a holster for it, or is it in a pocket or something?
It was in a holster, I think, early on. He's kind of got an assortment of little odds and like places to put gigas and whatnots in on his person, like a
lots of pockets,
utility belt, pockets.
So your Dirk, go on.
All of them are full of drugs.
Utility belt. Some of them are full of drugs for sure.
Your Dirk is disguised as one of those little umbrellas, so you kind of have that you're holding, right?
Sure.
Okay. And then the holster, is it a shoulder holster? Is it appendix?
I think it's just,
is it on your side, you know, back? What?
One of those, like it just goes around inside of a coat.
Okay, yeah. Kind of thing. So it's just in the coat. Yeah. Cool. Excellent to know. Yeah, you get all set up.
Because it's stuff is about to go down.
But it sounds like something's about to go down. It sounds like you think something's about to go down.
I mean, we're he might take some of it off if he thinks it's unnecessary. Like if he goes into the club, he's going to leave some of it in the car.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
So, action's still on you. What are you doing? You look at the clock, blinking. Maybe
he jumps
on a bank at 7:15.
Yeah, he jumps in the car and is the 2-hour photo studio in between. He knows he's got to get back.
Yeah, it's quite close because you went there when you dropped off the van and went to the fancy and went back to the apartment. So it's within walking distance easily, or so he's driving distance.
Gonna just,
totally cool.
He's going to throw all the stuff in the car and drive over there.
Yep. Roll me a D12, if you will. Hmm.
Okay.
What'd you get? Yeah, so you look and you have a third of a tank of gas. By the way.
Good to know.
And you get to the 2-hour photo. Action still on you, sir.
Oh, well, he goes in and he talks to his buddy.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up your buddy really quick.
Dustin.
Yep. Right. Oh, Mr. Dustin. Yep. Keep on. It's on you.
And he's like, did you get those photos?
Yep. You see Dustin sitting there. He comes out of the back. He's wearing these long rubber gloves and a rubber apron. As he comes back, he puts the goggles up over his head. and closes the door behind him. Yeah, just a second. Let me clean up real quick. I'll get him for you. As he walks into the back, and a few moments later, this place, there's, think of like the entrance to, or the lobby of a dentist office. Little counter, you know, painted walls, calendars that are tacked up that are too old, shit like that. There's a little candy machine. And what was it? A tab machine over there. Yeah. Dustin comes back and hands you a bag full of the photos.
I pull out, like, this only has two photos on it. You think you can get these done in the next hour? I don't know if I can get back.
Why'd you need them in an hour?
Well, in the next couple hours. I mean, just tonight. And maybe stick them outside and, like, you know, in that one spot that I have you stick photos in.
That, oh, I know all about that spot.
Yeah, you'll probably close by the time I get back, is my guess. And they could be helpful for tonight, just in case you go home before I get...
What you getting yourself into, Nord?
I don't know. You saw the photos.
He levels his gaze at you a little bit. You can tell he, you know this guy fairly well. You know, you're more acquaintances than friends, but he has a little bit of a concerned look on his face.
Well, I've been doing some work for the police force, and you know, there's been some stuff that...
Police?
Well, you got to make a living. Journalism doesn't necessarily pay all the bills, and I got a lifestyle. So there's these missing girls, and so we're trying to kind of find their whereabouts. You know, there's a repetitive murderer out.
Yeah, there's a lot of those. You know, this is Detroit, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, we think that it's like one person that is maybe a sicko or a group of cultists, not the good kind of cultist that we are, but the bad kind.
I think I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, you got any names for me? Put the word out.
Yeah, well, I mean, did you find anything out or see anything weird come through? I mean,
you
know, I did ask.
Yeah, you did ask. It's also been like 3 hours.
Has it been 3 hours?
It's not been very long.
Oh, it hasn't.
It's like earlier today.
It was this morning, I think. Well, yeah. It's all right. You know, all I need is this.
I'm a working man. I've been working all day.
Yeah, I get it. It's like, if you close up shop, just jam these in that spot.
Oh, I'll jam it.
It's only a couple of photos.
Now, is there anything on these photos that I should know about before I refrain from looking at them?
Yeah, did anything bother you at that last bit? Did you look at those photos that I...
He looks down okay? at the...
Can I look at him, and does he look like he's got some derangements?
You have no idea. He doesn't look crazy. He has he looks like that picture you have going right there. He looks like he's seen the world. The weight of the world has definitely fallen on his shoulders a few times. Yeah. He has been kicked in the balls by life several times.
Yeah. That Rebecca, she's pretty hot though. I mean, I know you're married, but
I don't know. I don't deal with don't deal with them too often. Ladies of the night, if you know what I mean. Holga!
Hey.
You did the streamer mode. Hell yeah. Well done, sir. You get a pip for doing that.
Yeah.
Seamlessly. Yeah, Duststone kind of looks you over. So about them photos, I mean, I don't like to ask questions. But my girlfriend, she won't be in the same room with him. She says there's something weird about him. Something touched.
Yeah.
What are they of?
Weird going on. Thank you for doing this, and I give him an extra $100 for his time.
He kind of cocks his head. What are they of?
What are these two?
No.
Yeah. Oh, the photos that we printed out. We took a little vacation trip to Belle Island.
You went to Belle Island?
Yeah, wanted to see some. There's a little structure there, and maybe they're photos of the gloves and of Leah. I wouldn't tell him. If he didn't look, I'm not going to tell him. Like,
well, you're telling him right now what you're telling him.
Yeah, no, no. If he didn't look, I'm not going to tell him. I was like, I tell him about the Belle Island stuff.
Huh. Well, you say there's something on Belle Island. There's like a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
What'd you see on Belle Island?
It's like the Loch Ness monster. You know.
Yeah. Well, that's what people say.
Yeah.
The white doe supposedly is there, and rattlesnakes.
Yeah. 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 I saw the white doe.
Oh yeah.
Do you know anything about it? Or at least about the story. Yeah.
But everybody knows the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that story.
Do you know the story of the white doe, Nord?
I do. I do know the story of the white doe. It's a doe that is sometimes, I don't have it in front of me in my notes in this very moment, but I certainly do know it.
Would you like me to tell you the story of the white doe, Nord?
It was a native creature, like a tribal leader of some kind, maybe the daughter of a tribe.
I mean, you're pretty close. Kinda.
Who did something. What was it again? Just refresh my memory.
He kind of laughs at you. He'll actually reach across the counter and slap you on the shoulder. like a man. All right. Why don't you have a cigarette with me as he pulls out some rolling tobacco and such and rolls some cigarettes. As he tells you this story.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to spin you the whole yarn, but essentially, there was an Indian chief, and he had a daughter. The long and the short of it is, he didn't want to give her up, to get married and this sort of thing, because no one was too good for her, right? So he put her on Belle Island and left her there. That's essentially what the story is. She turned into a white doe or something like that.
Sure. Yeah,
now,
that's familiar.
The snakes come from, that's a magical spell, see? And they're there to protect the white doe.
Okay.
Now, I believe there's a story that she got away, or someone took her away to the south, neighboring clan or tribe or whatever they called it back then. And so he lamented and did some kind of hoodoo Indian thing, and there was a big old war or something like that. No one really knows. Couched deeply in the antiquity of Detroit. And everyone's forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not on the history books. That sounds very similar to what I've heard.
Well, the point is, there are snakes native to this region of the United States, as well as that horrible place to our north.
Canada.
And you know why they call it Canada?
Because they can. They've got a can-do attitude.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one, Nord. I had something similar. We'll just stick with that one.
I remember some snakes. I mean, or at least I thought I heard some snakes. It was weird. I thought I heard rattlesnakes when we were there. And
God damn it, I just told you there's snakes up there.
I know, but I mean, I remember being there, and the snakes were frightening.
You know, the government, they patrol that island. You know, people have seen people. People have seen people there. Official-looking people. They got parties or some sort of something.
Yeah.
Something's happening on that island, Nord. I would stay away from it. He kind of looks
Does it look like I'm the kind of person that stays away from things?
Smoking a cigarette? No, you don't. No, you don't, but you should be careful.
I know. I show my best. It's like, well, I do my best.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. All right. Are you in some kind of trouble? Why are you wearing a vest?
Well, we are... I'm here to protect some from girls from getting murdered, or at least trying to find out where they are. They've been kidnapped, and I think that...
Oh, no. Have you gotten involved with that Idaway?
Well, I don't know him personally. How do you know him?
Come on, Nord.
No, I don't know him. Like, how do you know him?
How do you think I know him? I run a photo shop.
Oh.
I develop clandestine photos, goddammit. How do you think I know how Detective Idaway, a crazy detective?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So what about him?
He kind of smokes, you know, the cigarette down a little bit more, lets it burn. The smoke pop, you know, comes into his favor or into his face. Are you pumping me for information, Nord?
What would I do that for? I
because
gave
you're
you
an investigative reporter. That's why.
You know that this is my thing.
It is, and you get paid for it.
Yeah, the 14.
But you know, you never share the proceeds.
Yeah, well, I gave you. I told you, I'd give you $50 if you got me some information. I gave you a $5 tip. I mean, the 14 and Inquirer and Scientific Journal of Oddities only pays me so much. It's not like I'm a billionaire or anything like that.
Billionaire, huh? Well, I know Idaway because of the reason everybody knows Idaway, and that is he's been investigating the 12 years murders for a long time.
Sure, sure.
At least 12 years.
Maybe 24.
That is 12 times 2. You are right. At any rate, this is what I can tell you. Have you ever heard of the secret government?
No, but I'd like to. Are they like...
You've never heard of the secret government?
Or the, you know...
Illuminati, all of it. All of it, all at the same time.
The... With the eye.
That's right.
Little eye thing.
Don't even do it. It's bad luck. You know why there's one eye?
Why is that?
Because they only need one. It's in a goddamn pyramid. Of course they can see you. Think about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we didn't land on the moon.
Sure. Earth is flat, too.
No. I'm not an idiot.
Okay.
I'm not Canadian. What the hell's wrong with you?
All right. Well, I gotta go. I gotta.
You don't want to know what else?
Yeah. What else?
It kind of sounds like you don't want to know.
Well, you kind of started trailing off there a little bit.
Listen, I've been awake for quite a while. Okay. He puts out a cigarette.
Well, thanks
you
for the
talk to him or not.
Yeah, no, thanks for the information. And if you have anything else that is burning. What do you mean? Like, are the secret government, are they like the people with the blue gloves? Ron, have you seen those guys?
When you say that, his eyebrow arcs, you see a look on his face, which just seems strange to be put on this man's face. And it is potentially concern or fear.
Yeah.
You haven't seen them, have you?
Those guys.
I see storms around the counter. You see now that he's a very large man.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not considerably tall, like 6'2 or so, but just when he bumps the counter, like the counter like moves. It's like doom. He's just country strength. As he goes to the door and it has blinds, as he looks through the blinds. Have you seen them?
No, but I heard about them. Either way, it was this detective was talking about them.
The light shines, because it's all shadowed, shines across his eyes only, since he's got the thing open.
Sure.
2x2 hands of blue.
Yeah. What do you know about those guys?
Well, one thing is I don't really talk about them. Nord, okay. You haven't seen them, have you?
No, I haven't. He eyes you
up and down. You can tell he can't really tell if you're lying or not.
But I am a journalist. Sure. Like I need to know. You've given me all this information about this guy Idaway that I need to look into and like,
don't put this on me, Nord. You got yourself. Well, no, into
I don't know
things.
Who did. Somebody did, but you gave me some breadcrumbs. So just give me a little bit more. I got 45 more bucks for you. Tell me what's on your mind.
I put it on the counter.
I did. I do. I spent most of my money at this. Like $100 left.
All right. He sits down, pops open some whiskey. Dink. This is going to take a second. We're going to move back to Carpe Diem, the shop. Holker, Carpe Diem, named by Andrea, is the mortician's shop. It's called Carpe Diem. It's funny.
But
hey,
before you get too deep into this, can I do one thing?
You may.
Can I stop that conversation and make a phone call and ask him if I could make a phone call and call the Carpe Diem mortician shop?
Yes. You will be doing that. You'll be doing that as this is happening.
Okay.
Holker, welcome. Oh, you didn't hit streamer mode.
I did.
You did?
Oh. I did.
Well, at any rate, who's our sponsor for tonight?
It's good that you would ask. Our sponsor is the Order Squamata. The Order Squamata encompasses thousands of different reptile species, is characterized by a kinetic skull, which is why they have very highly mobile jaws. This is most pronounced in a subset of squamates known as snakes.
Snakes. Thank you. Thank you, snakes. And how do you pronounce it? The order?
Squamata.
Squamata.
It is a... normally known as lizards, but it also includes snakes.
Ah, Squamata. Thank you. You guys are all at the Carpe Diem Mortician Shop of Jack Napier. Tony, you have gone to the bathroom, allegedly, to take a big old dump. As you come out, you hear, or while you were in the restroom, you heard Simon and Leah arguing outside. Not heatedly necessarily. It was a little bit heated. They weren't shouting, but it was a bit of a heated argument. When you come out, you see Leah talking to Mariah and Simon nearby. No one's fighting, you know, no one's like pulling out guns or anything. But it's a somewhat tense moment. Jack Napier is the mortician, is in the other room. As you walk by, this is the doctor that was working on Leah and bandaging her up. As you walk by, you see that he's cutting into the sternum of potentially a dead person. He turns as you're walking by. He's got the little blast shield down. He's covered in blood. Stark against his all white. As he sees you, his blue-green hair kind of falls in his face in the blood. He smiles this large smile at you, and as you sort of rush by, hurry by, for a moment, the corpse, you see the hand twitch and maybe hear a moan.
I don't think you've embalmed him yet.
He just kind of laughs. And
I think he's.
Yep.
I saw the hand twitch. You?
He ignores you. And in fact, will shut the metal door.
In my face?
Yeah.
That's fine. I hate blood.
Action is on all three of you, which is Leah, Simon, and Tony. As Tony walks up, looking a little rattled.
All right, that guy, he was working with a client that might still be a client. I saw the hand twitch. I think I heard a moan or some sound from the person. I don't know what's going on in there. I'm not going back in though.
Well, we've got to wait for Nord anyway. He took off with Leah's keys.
Very loud. An annoying old school rotary phone. The phone is on the wall within arm's reach of you guys. It's rather near because you're just at the front. It rings again. You hear Jack from behind the door. Hey, Simon, could you get it? I'm kind of busy.
Carpe diem.
Nord is on the other end. Nord, you hear Simon pick up.
Yeah, I've got an order for 6 dead bodies. Can you take care of this for me?
Nord, is this you?
Maybe. How you doing, Simon?
Where did you go?
I went to get some photos developed. I think we should meet. Where do you plan on going? And I'll meet you there.
We need to go. There's a warehouse by the docks we were at earlier.
Okay.
Is
that the one with the face masks?
Yes. Yeah. It is around. And I'll tell him because you didn't tell me exactly. It's 2 blocks down this street on near a street called Poe Street.
Sure. You just turn at the big metal crow
at Poe and Dav.
Yeah,
Poe and North Dav Street.
It's in the intersection of Poe and Dav.
It's a quite seedy place. You need to watch out for that corner.
Make sure to keep everything in your pockets.
Yeah, gotcha.
But yeah, meet us there. We'll head there now.
Yeah, I got some extra gear. We never distributed this stuff. I'll head down there here in a second. I got this guy. I'm at the 2-hour photo place, and this guy's going to tell me a little bit about the Blue Hand Group.
Okay, well, just know that we're trying to save some children here, so take your time.
Yeah, I'm on the way.
And
I'm
hang
on the way.
Up.
No, I'm on the way.
That is hilarious.
Who's on the line?
It was Nord. He's at some 2-hour photo, so I guess he's trying to make his money on his investigative stuff. We need to hurry up and head over to this warehouse because I've got a good gut feeling that Gabby may be there.
Sounds good. I don't want to be here any longer than I have to. I got to be honest. Your friend, he kind of creeps me out.
Well, this is a morgue.
Even for, I mean, look, I know he's got a weird job. He's and everything, but come on, look at him.
Well, he does good work. He does it under the table, and we're in and out of here faster than we would be a hospital. So he's taken a few bullets out of me before.
Really?
Yeah.
Like out of? That must have hurt.
But it's part of the line of duty. You've never been shot at the border?
Shot at? No.
Well, count yourself lucky.
I mean, a few people are busted smuggling stuff over. They, by the time I get to the point where we're like, hey, we're going to open up your trunk, there's enough people around. They, you know, it's handled. It's one vehicle versus me and everyone else on that probably wants to be sweeping that day.
Well, when you're a PI, usually you're there by yourself. So sometimes it happens. Let's go hop in my car.
All right. You guys get to the Buick. Back at Carpe Diem. Nor do you hang up the phone. Action's on you.
I gotta go here in a second. But what were you telling me? You were saying you had a quick insight into these blue hand people. Like I just heard about them the other day. Oh, you said
didn't say anything about quickness. Quickitude. As he's poured some whiskey.
You're gonna go deep. Well, I mean, I gotta help out my friends. If I run into these guys, is there anything I can do?
Yeah, you need to turn the other way and run away. Listen, okay, so I can give you a little bit. They think they're the good guys. No one else does. Yeah.
Yeah.
By and large,
you said they were government, right?
As close to the government as, oh, I get it. As he takes a drink. As close to the government as they can be. Clandestine secret society, Nord.
Yeah. It's like CIA times two.
Something like that, but they believe in the unnatural things. Really, they're just rumors. But the 2x2 hands of blue, they're not. I'm not going to say they're not human, but they've been changed somehow. They got access to something that most people don't. Most people don't even believe in.
Hmm.
And while they may be good guys in their own eye, they're willing to do some pretty evil shit. Yeah, if you see one of them detectives, you run.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. You say you haven't seen him, right?
No, I haven't seen anybody.
He kind of arcs his eyebrow as you may either bid or throw down. We will go directly into the dread.
Well, I'm going to bid yellow journalism, i.e. retcon.
Nice. As he's staring at you like he doesn't believe you. How do you convince him bidding yellow journalism? What is it that Nord does or looks like or says that changes his mind?
Nord, like it's hard to read Nord. He's in disguise. Like I don't know if anybody's noticed, but he lies a lot about a lot of different things for no reason sometimes. I mean, it's just part of his nature to like not give up the cards because he will do anything in order to get the story. So it's kind of like he wants to know if there's something additional, if there's something specific, because right now he knows that this guy just has smoke and mirrors that he's throwing at him. Like that he hasn't said anything to Nord that Nord doesn't already know. So
As you bid Yellow Journalism.
So Nord is acting like he's like, who are these guys?
Right. he nods at you and kind of laughs. You can tell that he doesn't know what you know, and probably he thinks that maybe you're just shit talking him, like saying a bunch of shit that see what sticks. Throwing a bunch of shit at the wall and see what sticks. As he kind of shakes his head and wipes his brow a little bit in relief. Well, I hope you never do meet them.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I'm not sure if I have or not. I think I saw one. I think. His eyes kind of like look into the corner as he's recalling this memory. The strange thing, it was thundering and lightning, and saw this cloaked figure. Saw his hands, and it was a crackle of energy of some sort. When he looked over, though, I was gone. Quite gone. They say the secret government. As he kind of turns and looks up at you. Well, they got a name. You can bid or throw down to get this name out of him.
I'll throw down, if that's okay.
Yep.
I would like to get this name out of him. That is two successes.
You just needed one. As you can tell, he wants to tell you. He wants to get it off his chest, as he says,
it's your secret safe with me.
They called 12 and 7. The mystics are 12 and 7. Supposedly, they're fighting something called the unwilling.
They're fighting with the unwilling.
As he looks up, something like that. I don't know. But they've been around a long time. The word is they don't age. Word is they're immortal.
Yeah.
See him actually kind of working himself up, getting scared. There's actually fear in his eyes. As he shakes his head and gulps the entire glass of whiskey down. Yeah. Anyway, Nord, I do believe in him. If I'm going to be completely honest, and if you see him, just don't mess with it.
I don't even know what you're talking about. What are you talking about, man? I have no idea. Who are you again? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'll get these photos for you.
Thanks.
As he goes into the back, you hear some weird music going on in the back and perhaps some moaning as he shuts the door.
All right. Well, I just take my photos and take off to go to visit the warehouse on Poe and Grow, or
Poe and North Dav.
Yeah, Poe and Dav.
In the Buick, actions on you guys. You see your little clock says 7:30.
Yeah, we've got some time. Hopefully we'll find Gabby here and we can get her somewhere safe, and then we can go bust up this masquerade.
What if we find more fun stuff?
Oh, fun stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we will handle that when we need to handle that.
What are y'all doing?
So we're going to this masquerade.
Yeah. I've got two masks in the trunk. Maybe we may need them if they're anything like those masks we found at the boat dock. If those are the same people, I've got two masks just like them. So that can cover at least two of us.
Mariah turns, you mean the big masks? The ones that look like You're like on an island?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's... We saw them in those costumes that you found.
Yeah, so I know. I found them.
Yeah, I don't know if they're... If they're
are we going to wear the pants?
No, we only got the masks.
No, there was a whole little grass skirt thing that came around it.
Tony, are you in look. The... Are you in the back with me, or are you up front?
Talk about Mariah? Oh, Tony.
Okay.
Mariah's so in the passenger seat.
Leah will be, you know, in the seat behind you, and she'll lean forward and get up close to your ear. Hey, Tony, do you happen to know any, shall we say, gun runners?
No.
Okay. I just thought you might have encountered some weapon smugglers in your job.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, there was that one time.
What do you bid?
Me?
No. Tony. Oh.
Well, I mean, of course.
Do you know some Canadian gun runners?
No, I would bid guard.
Yeah. To be guard, so how do you know these people? Or who do you know?
So look, there's this one person, all right? I kind of busted someone working for him. So don't tell him you know me or anyone in my line of work, okay? Let's be clear about that. I kind of overheard the name during the interrogation. You know, we bust the guy, they get arrested, they get taken to a room, and they get sat down, and people, you know, ask them, hey, what do you know? And this guy said a few things, and I might have been the presiding guard at the time, so I technically do have a name.
You close by, do you know?
Yeah, absolutely, can be close by.
Yeah, they're in...
This is person's name is Peyton Twerb.
Peyton Twerb. Yeah. Yeah, he... pretty sure he lives in one of the more interesting parts of town.
He's called the Canuck.
The Canuck.
Yeah, you might also find him in Windsor or here. Yeah, okay. So I will give out the information.
Yeah, you know that Peyton Twerb, aka the Canuck, he's a smuggler. He's diminutive in his stature, but actually really muscular, like Bruce Lee muscular. But this guy, he's like 4'7". Like, he's a tiny, tiny dude. Very sharp wit. He's got one of those Guy Fawkes things going on. So he looks like this little miniature leprechaun guy who's Irish. And he's also blind. Or at least in one eye.
You know how when they said I don't know if they told you this, but I used to get told all the time, hey, don't play with that stick, it'll poke your eye out.
I've been told that too.
He poked his eye out.
That's a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Mom, that's gone. A thing?
Well, if you fall on a sharp stick with your eye, yes, that is a thing.
Oh my God. Simon, where are you going?
I'm going to Poe and Dev.
As you get there, you guys drive through Detroit. Thunder rolls overhead. No rain though. Oddly enough, there isn't a lot of traffic. Granted, you're near the Jefferson Corridor. The abandoned warehouse, Simon, is within about a quarter mile of the cemetery that you were supposed to meet Idaway at. Do we actually have that on the map? Can we throw that up? That way you guys kind of have an idea of where we are. Simon, do you remember the name of that cemetery?
Cemetery? I have it in my notes. I don't remember right offhand.
Good. Hey, you guys should like and subscribe if you haven't liked and subscribed. It's not Mount Elliot. It's not Bald Hill. That's the one that you is at the Butte's house.
Of course.
There's
Mount. No, I thought Mount Elliot.
Yeah, it is Mount Elliot. Okay, so it's Mount Elliot Cemetery.
Yep.
And is that on the map? It might be on the.
It's next to Parker's books.
Ah, nice. Yep, indeed. So it's just above. So Parker's books, the yellow there, that's the Jefferson Corridor. It's just above Parker's books. And we'll say that the mortuary, or the mortician, I should say, Carpe Diem, it's more east along the Jefferson Corridor, just sort of like in the middle of it. Not near the docks yet, but it's just in the heart of it. So Dav...
Ideas and oddities.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. So Poe and Dav will be over near to... in between Barker's books and Oddities and Mount Elliot Cemetery. So just above the blue dot underneath the sea.
Okay.
Nord, you're on your way. You're all on your way. We're montaging here. If anybody needs to do an advancement or have any soft role play or drop the load or any of that stuff, you can do it now. Holker, the goals are up to 17. So you're aware if you want to update that. A little bit of maintenance and such.
Do you advance traits or do you just get traits?
You just get traits.
Okay.
In version 2 of Dreadlore, you might advance traits.
Okay. So
that might be kind of
basically if you get an advancement, it means you can get a new trait or create advance some gear or something like that.
Yeah. So an advancement is you get something. And what you can do with that is you can get a trait, you can get a proficiency, you can get an ability, you can upgrade an ability, or you can fold the story into ninja gear. So you can do one of five things.
Sure.
Dropping the load means you get a trait. So those are the two ways you can advance.
So if I gave my dirge a trait,
it is
concealable. Dirk. Why do I want to call it a dirge?
Because
every time
dirge, yeah, indeed, dirge is a cool word. I know it because there's a it's a sad song. It's a funerary song. Is a dirge, which, I mean, that would be neat to have that as a trait on your dirk, your dirgy dirk.
Yeah, dirgy dirk.
Because
that's the name of the sword for sure at this point.
Yeah, because it actually fits really well because, you know, it's for murdering. Like that is what a dirk is for. But yeah, it's a very similar word, and dirk is kind of a dumb word. Somebody's dirky.
It's my dirgy dirk.
I know you're not saying that's bucking your culture now.
You gonna say what?
I said, I know you're not saying anything about the culture now.
What culture?
Scottish. Dirks are Scottish.
Oh. Oh, whatever. It's a fucking Dirk.
I think we're mostly, like, I think a lot of us on here are probably Scottish in some manner. Probably. Or Irish or English or maybe a mix of all three.
Why did they call it a dirk instead of a knife? I guess knife doesn't sound.
I mean, it's probably a a older Gaelic word or Gaelic.
Yeah, for dagger or something.
Yeah.
Or dick.
That's where the word.
It's like a, use your dirk.
Yeah, no? I said that last game. I pulled. Yeah, no, it was like a moment. I was like, and I pull out my dirk. It felt good.
Yeah, next thing is another name, because a lot of traditional. Another name for dirks was a bollocks dagger.
Bollocks dagger.
Yes, yeah, that's why, because lots of times near the actual hilt where the blade meets the handle, it'll have like two things that look like testicles, kind of. Yeah,
you are not making it easy to refrain from making fun of Scotland. I like Scotland; it's fine. However, that's goofy as fuck. Hey, it's a bollocks dagger. Yeah, so Nord, you can call it a bollocks dagger if you want.
No, I like dirgy
bollocks dagger.
I like dirgy dagger.
this very serious scene. I hit him with the bollocks of my bollocks dagger. I'm having too much fun here.